Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 20-13 loss for the Tennessee Titans against the Baltimore Ravens yesterday in the wild card round. The Titans season now over, coming to a disappointing end after winning the division for the first time since 2008. And we'll be getting your reaction all show long here today on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 the game on Twitter. What was the most disappointing part of the loss yesterday for the Titans against the Ravens? Was it Derrick Henry's performance, just 40 rushing yards on the ground? Was it Ryan Tannehill and his inability to carry the team to victory with Derrick Henry struggling? Was it the coaching decisions, the fourth and two, the decision to punt there, which we'll get into here in just a second? Or was it not being able to stop Lamar Jackson on the ground from running wild against the Titans like he was able to do yesterday? So far, 223 votes are in, 47% going with the coaching decisions being the number one most disappointing part of the game yesterday, 33% going with Derrick Henry only having 40 rushing yards, 14% going with not being able to stop Lamar Jackson on the ground, and just 6% so far going with Ryan Tannehill's performance yesterday. So, Joe, obviously a lot of frustration from Titans fans on Mike Vrabel and his staff yesterday and the coaching performance, whether it comes down to play calling on offense. We've talked about Arthur Smith not having a very good day yesterday against the Ravens. But a lot of people after the game are talking about Mike Vrabel and his decision to punt the ball on fourth and two from the Baltimore 40-yard line with roughly 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. It's a 17-13 game at that point, and Derrick Henry on that drive had his longest run of the day, 8 yards right up the middle to make it second and two. And quite frankly, Joe, on that play, he's about a hurdle away from maybe taking that thing to the house. They were able to trip him up and bring him down, and that was the closest he came all day long to breaking one. So you're second and two, you're on Baltimore's 40, you're feeling good about things, you're not able to do anything on second down, third and two comes, you throw a ball to Jonnu Smith, and he just gets crushed on the play and drops the ball, and it's fourth and two, and they make the decision to punt, and Brett Kern comes out and they punt. And it was interesting, while that was going on and shortly in the aftermath, Pro Football Reference came out with a tweet on Twitter, just kind of factoring in all the history of that call specifically on that spot in the field, and said, quote, "This is the first time in our database, complete back to 1994, that a team in the playoffs punted on fourth and two from this field position down by one score in the fourth quarter." I said before the punt even happened that if I'm the Titans, I'm going for it right here. I've given my offense a chance to convert this first down. They didn't. I thought that was a really bad decision by Mike Vrabel and the Titans to punt that ball.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of – see, I missed that one, but I've got – this is a new Twitter follow for me. Surrender Index, okay?
Yes,
this
yes.
This is a Twitter account strictly devoted to basically, cowardly punts, all right? I don't know if, like, the high school coach who, like, never punts started this or what. But so – Tennessee's decision, this is according to Surrender Index 90. So, and actually, it has two accounts. This is only the very, very highest percentile of weak punts. With a surrender index of 138.87, okay, it ranks at the 100th percentile of cowardly punts of the 2020 season, and it's the 99.92nd percentile of all punts since 2009. So there you go. Your surrender index is saying basically this is like as cowardly as it gets. Now, let's in the interest of proper second guessing here, I just want to point out that a week ago, Vrabel went for it on that fourth down, in Houston territory, and some people freaked out. And I want to point out that I said I had no problem with it. I said it. I wrote it. Because you know what he did there? He trusted his offense.
That's right.
That is the right thing to do with this team. And he got, I guess, I mean, he said more than once yesterday, you know, liked how the defense was playing. But, like, he got fooled by the defense. And maybe he got fooled by the offense, you know, not playing as well. But man, it's like the dance with who brung you thing here. You gotta go with your offense there. And there's two things there. One is, like you said, Henry has 8 yards, almost breaks it. He's one kind of diving leg tackle from probably scoring on first down. Then it was actually a fade to A.J. Brown on second down. So you kind of take a shot, and Tannehill threw that one out of bounds, and I think that might have been the play I was talking about with, you know, the safety help there. Jonnu Smith should have caught the 3rd-and-2 pass. I mean, he got hit hard, but you got to catch it, and I don't know if that converts it or makes it like 4th-and-inches, but regardless, right there, I mean, you go with your offense. You go with what is great about this team, and you don't trust what has been terrible about this team. But he did, and of course, everything. I'm sure if Vrabel knew that Brett Kern was only going to give him, you know, a 25-yard net.
What a great punt.
Yeah, he probably would have reconsidered, you know, but that happens, and then, boom, the Ravens go right down the field. And frankly, by the way, we're going to talk about bad officiating. Like the OPI on the Ravens to me was, that was awfully questionable. The intent was there, but the intent's often there and not called on plays like that. So if not for that, that game may have been ended before, you know, the Titans ever got the ball back anyway. But that was just a bad coaching decision. And it's not Vrabel-like. Vrabel, if anything, errs on the side of being more aggressive. But there he erred on the side of being unaggressive, and it cost him.
Yeah, he trusted the wrong side of the ball there. Trusted the defense when the offense has been the one that has carried them all season long. I want to go back to the second down play. Because, Joe, you brought up a good point that Derrick Henry was one shoestring tackle away from taking it to the house. At least it looked like it from their Skycam view when he got 8 yards, and it looked like if he broke that tackle, he was gone. They're in 2nd-and-2, and Tannehill's under center with Derrick Henry in the backfield, and it looks like he audibles into something else. He goes into shotgun and then completely throws it. It's almost like a throwaway. He completely sails it over A.J. Brown's head after what he thought may have been there wasn't there. So you have Derrick Henry, who's been struggling all day, and Derrick Henry gets stronger later in games. He has his best run of the day. This is what turns out to be the biggest drive of the season. It's 2nd-and-2, and you have 3 straight plays, and Derrick Henry does not get the ball on 2nd-and-2, 3rd-and-2, or 4th-and-2.
Yep. Big, big mistake.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I could not believe it.
Yeah, especially because they've been feeding him all day.
Yes.
Like, you've been feeding him all day in situations where you probably shouldn't have, and then he finally breaks one, and then you totally abandon him.
Like, I've been saying all morning how they should not have been so predictable with Derrick Henry on 1st and 2nd down. But if there was ever a time to just feed Henry, it's after he has this 8-yard run where it looks like this might be the time where he gets going.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Mike Vrabel yesterday after the game was obviously asked about this decision and what happened on that series and the decision to punt from the 40-yard line on 4th and 2. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Yeah, Mike, the decision to punt on 4th and 2 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, can you kind of walk us through your thought process on that?
No, just decided to punt. Thought we were playing well defensively, thought we would get a punt inside the 10 and, you know, be able to play the field position game. Had some time there that I felt like, you know, we could, and we held them to a field goal. It just, you know, I mean, we were playing against a kicker there that, kicks him from the 40, becomes a field position battle. And I thought that, you know, we'd get a stop and pin him inside the 10. And, you know, the way we were playing defensively, I was really proud of those guys. That, you know, I mean, obviously Lamar had a fantastic day, but I thought we were, you know, dialed in. I thought, you know, enjoyed watching those guys play defense.
So, Joe, I hear what Vrabel's saying there. And I guess, and I think you tweeted this yesterday, if you look at the scoreboard, he's not wrong. I mean, the defense played much better yesterday than I think a lot of us anticipated that they would. But there's also an entire season's worth of evidence that suggests under no circumstances should you ever trust this defense whatsoever. And pretty much under every circumstance, you should trust this offense based on the track record, based on what we've seen as a body of work all season long. And I thought you brought up a great point. This was a case of Vrabel just getting fooled here and trusting his defense maybe a little bit too much and not having enough faith in the offense. I know that it wasn't going well offensively, but you're in plus territory at that point. It's been a struggle for you to get in plus territory all game long up until that point. Who knows if you're going to get back there? To me, that's a situation where it's fourth and two. You've just got to go for it and live with the results at that point. And I agree, like if he knows that Brett Kern only nets him 25 yards there, probably makes a different decision. And if Jonnu Smith holds onto the ball, we're probably not even having this conversation. But I thought just a bad decision by Mike Vrabel in a case of him maybe getting too wrapped up in the moment and not going with what's been the strength of this team all season long.
Well, and listen, if Porth's right on the second down that Tannehill checked into that, then that's also on him too, right? I mean, if that was a run play, if Arthur Smith called a run to Henry, like, okay, let's go, keep it going. Tannehill checks into something and then just, it's like a throwaway play. Well, I mean, we give quarterbacks credit, you know, at times for like getting into the right play, right? I mean, that's a big part of being a quarterback, your pre-snap reads. And if that's the case, well, look, man, they've been stacked up the entire game. I mean, there's, like you guys said, when do you have any chance to give him momentum? There it is. You finally see a defense that maybe looks like it's tiring. They're one guy away from letting him probably get to the end zone there. So how do you not test that again? So there's one that maybe that's on Tannehill as opposed to Arthur Smith, but it is. It's just you think about three potential plays to get 2 yards at that point of a game when it's supposed to be Derrick Henry's time, and he doesn't get it. I mean, he has every right to be frustrated with that. He'd never say it, but that's malpractice. You have to do it.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans in Truth texting in saying Vrabel choked. Arthur Smith didn't have a good game either and showed he may not be ready to have a head coach. So lots of frustration boiling in from Titans fans on the coaching staff from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I can see a Titans fan trying to be like, hey, all you GMs out there, he's not ready. Not ready for prime time. I just hope you don't actually want him to leave because of this. Bad day for sure. Again, it's one of those things. It's just like with Mike Vrabel. Good day for your defense. Bad day for your offense. Don't trust it. It's one little sample size. Don't trust it. If you're a Titans fan, same thing. You've seen 2 years of Arthur Smith as OC. Bad day for him. You want him to be your OC.
So what do we think of the defensive performance yesterday? How complete was it? Did that give the Titans the best chance to win that we thought was possible heading into the game yesterday? And how did Lamar Jackson eventually break through it all? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore. And just like that, a 48-yard touchdown run by Jackson, potentially to tie the game.
Like Lamar's long touchdown run in the second quarter, you had a shot at him there early in that play. Was that sort of a big moment in turning this contest their way, you think?
No, I mean, I think that he made a play, and we didn't do a very good job of making him, you know, go lateral. He broke down in the middle of the defense, and he's dangerous, and I think everybody's seen that, you know, throughout the year.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday talking about Lamar Jackson and his 48-yard scramble for a touchdown to tie the game 10-10 in the first half. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, up until that point, the Titans had been doing a good job of keeping containment on Lamar Jackson. He wasn't breaking off any big plays. They were actually getting pressure on him in the backfield, had 4 sacks in the first half, including by our guy Brooks Reed, who was Clay Matthews' light out there yesterday running around with that hair. Some pretty impressive pressure that they were able to put on Lamar Jackson. And even on that play, like the Titans are able to get into the backfield. You can make an argument they get too deep into the backfield. Lamar turns it up. A couple of guys have got a shot at him at the line of scrimmage. He breaks through, and Kevin Byard's standing right there, and Lamar Jackson at that point, he's already got the jets turned on, and good luck catching that guy. When he's got the jets turned on, he gets to the end zone, scrambles 48 yards, dives in, and I thought that game completely changed from that point on. And we've talked about the defense and holding that team to 20 points. And if you would have told me heading into the game that you hold the Ravens to 20 points if you're the Titans, I think you win this game comfortably if you're Tennessee. Obviously, that didn't happen. But still, 236 yards on the ground for the Ravens in this game, and 136 of those coming from Lamar Jackson. So how was Lamar eventually able to break free and just kill the Titans on the ground a couple of different times in that game?
Well, you know, I thought they did a really good job most of the game is the funny thing, because if you look at Lamar Jackson's total, so he's got 16 for 136. So let me see if I can do math here. 81 of those on two plays.
Yeah.
So you got, other than that, you got 14, you know, 14 for still decent numbers. He had a few other runs, but he had a lot of ones and twos in there too, you know, where I thought they did a good job of making a move laterally. One of those, so, you know, they're two different types of runs. I think a huge disappointment, and again, this goes back to don't trust your defense, is you get that at the end. The Ravens actually give you a break with the taunting, right? And then they give you a break by actually calling a pass on first down. Lamar Jackson overthrows it. Now they've stopped the clock for you. It's second and 10, and it's just the same thing, man. It's a QB run, and you get blocked all across the board. Long gets blocked. Evans gets blocked. You know, Desmond King kind of overruns it, and you got a big hole, 33 yards, and the game's over. But so that's a QB run. The one time that really hurt you. The other one was a pass play, a third long where he breaks. In both ways, he's dangerous, but it's just different kinds of plays. I mean, it's hard to really, you know, hammer the Titans on the third down, other than I guess you can say this is why you are fearful of playing man-to-man too much against Lamar Jackson, because that's when everybody's backs are turned, and that's where, like, you know, obviously if you're in a zone look, you got a much quicker reaction to him breaking out of the pocket, and you can limit the damage. You play man, that's, you know, you're playing with fire. You may be able to hold your coverage longer, and he may not have anything, but then that's the danger of it. But really, how many plays? I mean, you had a few plays where Hollywood Brown definitely took advantage of Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
And most of the game, you know, I thought the Titans did exactly what they wanted to do. They also hit him, especially in the third quarter, with, you know, Ricard with the little, you know, little fullback stuff, hitting him in the flats. But you have to give something up to be able to do what you're trying to do to stop that running game.
You do, and I thought Greg Roman did a really nice job of adjusting in the second half. I thought in the first half, Lamar was holding on to the ball a little too long, and Lewis Riddick talked about that on the broadcast a little bit too. Statistically, when he's holding on to the ball, his numbers go down, and a lot of quarterbacks, that's not the case. Like, you give Aaron Rodgers a lot of time, he's going to pick you apart back there. But a lot of times, Lamar Jackson, even on the interception he threw, he had time. I think Rashawn Evans was coming in his face at the end of that. You're breaking down on the blitz there. But you throw an out route there, and basically it's a fair catch waved interception by Malcolm Butler there. I thought Greg Roman, especially on that first drive in the second half, the decisions for Lamar were quick, whether it was handing the ball off to Dobbins on the read option, keepers to himself, or little plays out in the flat, either to Mark Andrews or to Ricard there coming out of the backfield. I thought they did a good job in the second half of making the decisions quick for Lamar. He was able to operate comfortably. The Titans weren't able to generate a whole lot of pressure on him at that point, just based on how quickly he was getting rid of the ball. And you know, instead of trying to go down the field and take these 35-yard shots to Hollywood Brown, I mean, they were just kind of dinking and dunking the ball, either with a running game and the read option, or on some of these short passes to Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, and Ricard. I thought that was a nice adjustment by Greg Roman in the second half.
Yeah, Greg Roman, this was a big kind of prove it game for him. And they also had, speaking of, you know, like all around effort for the Titans, there was a play late which they ended up, you know, forcing a punt. But Lamar Jackson, it's another QB design run. He's got a lead blocker. I think he goes for a huge run, but Landry blitzed and got him, got him to the ground. Or else, you know, that play goes for big play. Landry, by the way, two sacks, yeah, 10 tackles, all over the place. You know, he's a keeper. Be nice to see Harold Landry with some help at some point. and see what that might do for him. You know, another interesting thing about yesterday and the Titans, what they were doing, like Nick Dezubnar is on the field a lot. They had a look out there with Long, Dezubnar, and Evans at times on the field together, you know, fewer guys up front, kind of an interesting configuration. But, you know, for the most part, it was a pretty good – I mean, that was one of the best days, I think, for the Titans in terms of plan and execution. And it's the third time in three meetings with the Ravens that they've done way better against them than a lot of teams do. It's just that this is the one where, you know, late in the game, in key moments, Lamar Jackson makes the big plays. The first two times he did not.
Yeah, and I thought there were times yesterday where you needed some big moments and some big stops out of your defense, and it happened. I mean, I think back to the first three and out the Titans have. You come back the next drive and you force a three and out of your own. Kevin Byard does a great job on that play of a pass breakup, and all of a sudden it's the second half. The Ravens come out on their first drive and just run it right down the Titans' throat at 17-10, and the Titans' next drive stalls out offensively, and you need a big stop from your defense on that drive, and they're able to get it. It's third and short. I want to say it was like third and two, and Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, and Rashawn Evans just stuffed Lamar Jackson coming up the middle. And I thought to myself at the time, all right, that's the play that they've been needing all season long from your defense. The game may be in danger of getting away from you at that point. It's 17-10. It's third and short. Lamar's feeling good. And just a big play, I thought, by Harold Landry, who led the charge on that play. And then Simmons and Evans come in to help clean it up as well. So it's not like this defense didn't give the offense opportunities yesterday to stay in that game and to score with the Ravens. I did think they got some key stops. But, again, like you said, as the fourth quarter kind of drug on there, Lamar just ended up making some plays on the ground, and that killed the Titans in the end.
Yeah, I mean, they also – so it's 17-13 after that big stop for the Ravens in the red zone, and they start picking on Adoree. It's a big play at Adoree's expense, big play at Adoree's expense. But then he actually gives good coverage on Hollywood Brown. Kevin Byard comes on a blitz on a third and seven, and you know, Lamar has to unload it early, and he overthrows it. And then that set up the Justin Tucker shocking – 52-yard miss. Just not used to seeing that guy miss. But again, that gave him a chance. That of course immediately precedes the infamous punt. But again, you're right there. I understand looking at your defense and saying, hey, you know, getting a lot of stops, doing a good job. But how you know, the law of averages says it's not going to continue, and it didn't. And then the Ravens finally again throwing to Hollywood Brown. You know, a play action, nice throw to Andrews for a first down, you know, Jackson with a big run. They get themselves back in and Tucker makes that one. I mean, but that drive you're talking about eating up a ton of clock, putting them up a touchdown, change the complexion of the fourth quarter.
It did. And you brought up Adoree Jackson and his struggles yesterday against Hollywood Brown. And a lot of people on our text line so far, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, have talked about Kevin Byard and his struggles this season as well. When we come back, we'll get into those two specifically and where they fit into this Titans defense moving forward. How concerned are we about the secondary for the Titans moving forward? We'll discuss that when we come back. And then make sure you're tuning in tonight. College football season is down to its final game at the national championship as Ohio State faces off against Alabama, and ESPN The Game Nashville has you covered as the college football finale will be on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 with the kickoff tonight at 7 o'clock. College football national championship coverage is brought to you by Boom Boss, Kraft Pizza and Tap House, Coleman Tractor, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Electronic Express. So should be a good one tonight in the national championship game. Make sure you're locked right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 for that. We'll be right back with more Titans discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. .5 The Game Nashville has your chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. Be listing at 8:45 today, tomorrow, and Wednesday morning for the keyword of the day, and then text that keyword into the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you will be entered for a chance to win. The winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th. So looking forward to that coming up later this week. Be listening at 845 today for today's keyword of the day. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking about the Titans and their loss to the Ravens yesterday in the wild card round. Corey Curtis, our friend from News 2, will join us at 8 o'clock. Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase and the Predators pre- and post-game show, will join us at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that discussion with those two. And Joe, you brought up in the last segment Adoree Jackson and the struggles that he had at times yesterday in coverage, tackling, whatever way you want to take it yesterday in the game against the Ravens, against Hollywood Brown. What did you think of Adoree's play yesterday against Baltimore? What have you thought of his play overall since he's come back from injury?
Not very good. You know, the first, you know, obviously Devontae Adams is sort of like, okay, well, Devontae Adams is snow and he's back, just got back, and you give him a little bit of a pass on that. I don't know that he had massive failings at Houston. I mean, the whole defense had issues. There was definitely a late play where he didn't get proper depth in his zone. That was a big play, you know, but I thought yesterday the Ravens just were more than happy to keep throwing at Hollywood Brown with Adoree Jackson on him, and usually had success doing it. So this is one of those things where I don't know how much most of the season being out affected him, but I would guess some. The Titans have picked up his option already, you know, his rookie option. Unlike Corey Davis, they picked up Adoree Jackson's for 2022. And, I mean, I think that, you know, you don't throw that out based on what you saw here, but you certainly need him to make big strides next year. He's going to make $10.2 million next year. Of course, Corey Davis would have made, I think, 15.7 or 15.8 next year. So that's a big number for Adoree Jackson next year. I still think he's good enough to earn that. We did not see that this year in his brief little time of playing.
Yeah, and it was a struggle pretty much all day long yesterday for Adoree Jackson going up against Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown finishes with 7 catches, 109 yards. Obviously, not all of that came against Adoree Jackson, but some missed tackles on some of the short passes just did not go well for the most part for Adoree Jackson in coverage yesterday. And Mike Vrabel was asked about Adoree Jackson and his play, not only in yesterday's game, but really since he's come back from injury after the game yesterday. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Yeah, Mike, Adoree looked like he had some tough moments out there today. Do you think he ever really caught up, you know, in the few weeks that he played to – kind of compensating for being out for so long?
Oh, I mean, we got to, you know, just everybody, you know, I mean, you just have to, when you come back from injury or you're out and you're away, you just, you know, take advantage of the opportunities you get and the snaps that you get. And you know, that goes for everybody. I don't know really what some time off and make sure you're working your way back and practicing, and then, you know, just being ready to take advantage of your opportunities when they come.
So that was Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday on Adoree Jackson. And, Joe, as you look at Adoree and his play, I mean, it's pretty obvious. He struggled since he's come back. How much of a factor do you think the injury was and just his inability to ever get back up to top speed? Because I certainly think that's a factor. I will say this, though. I mean, there are times on the field, whether it's in coverage or especially when he's pursuing somebody to make a tackle, where it just looks like there's almost zero aggression there. Like, there's a play that stands out to me yesterday, and I feel like this could have totally changed the game for the Titans. You're up 10-0 at this point, and Adoree Jackson is coming on a corner blitz to Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson has no idea that Adoree is coming on that play, and it looks like he almost hit the brakes on the blitz. Lamar Jackson backs off, is able to escape the pressure that Adoree Jackson is providing, completes a pass down the field for the first down, and the Ravens are able to get a field goal on that drive and cut the lead to 10-3. It just seems like at times out there, Adoree's just not aggressive in his pursuit, and he's not wrapping guys up. I mean, there's a play yesterday in the third quarter where they throw a quick hitter to Hollywood Brown And Adoree just basically olays him at the line of scrimmage, and Hollywood takes off for about a 20-yard gain on that play. Just, I was very unimpressed with what I saw from an aggression and a pursuit standpoint from Adoree Jackson yesterday.
Well, that was a huge play in the game. It was the last play of the first quarter, and Adoree got Lamar Jackson's towel but couldn't get him down. I thought that was one of those plays where you got to be aggressive and you go for the tackle to the outside so that even if you miss, you're sending him back inside. But he sort of, like you said, he sort of held up and let Lamar Jackson get the corner, and then eventually he made that big-time throw. Really, I mean, I still thought that was going to be just basically, you know, forcing him to the sideline and just throw it away. But he made a huge throw there. And, you know, Adoree Jackson's never been, I mean, like if that's Logan Ryan blitzing, or if that's even like Desmond King on this secondary blitzing, they probably get him to the ground or at least do a better job there. He's not a great blitzer. He's never been a great tackler. I'd say, you know, he's a decent tackler. I mean, look, he's a speed guy who at times can be really good in coverage. And that's why the Titans picked up his option for next year. But there are those moments of frustration that have happened throughout his career where you just want him to be a little bit more aggressive or a little bit more physical. You know, you want him to have the same mindset of Malcolm Butler with his skill set, and it would be a heck of a combination.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brad in Clarksville texts in and says, Kevin Byard looks really bad. Do you think that he's lost a step? Joe, now that the season is over and, you know, we're going to look ahead to the future in this secondary, how concerned are we on Kevin Byard in the season that he had, given the quality of player that we know that he can be and that he has been for his entire career? Not a very good season for Kevin Byard this year. Not a good season for a lot of people defensively this year. How concerned are you about the secondary moving forward with Adoree Jackson, with Kevin Byard back there, not having the seasons that I think anybody expected from Byard specifically?
Well, look, this was Byard's worst season, and said it before, we'll say it again. This is the first time he's played on a bad defense. He's played on good defenses, at least pretty good defenses, his entire career. So how much of his struggles are tied to everything else? I'm sure some. You're also, you know, you signed him to a 5-year, $70 million deal. And, you know, he's got the next 4 seasons under contract. So, you know, you want a guy like that getting paid that kind of money to lift your defense, to elevate your defense, to make more plays. He's always been a playmaker. He did not make enough plays this year, enough impactful plays. It seemed like he was a step late a lot in coverage, especially in the red zone. Seemed like teams picked on him at times too. I mean, he did have a really good play early in the game yesterday against Andrews. That was exactly what you want from him.
Yeah.
I can't knock him. I can't knock him for, you know, for taking a bad angle and not tackling Lamar Jackson with that kind of space. Once Lamar Jackson has that kind of time to get going downhill, that's tough. But yeah, it was a disappointing year for Byard. What you have to do if you're the Titans is you have to analyze, okay, so his actual performance, you know, compared with what he did to get paid, you know, how much did it go down this year? You know, we can sit here and say it absolutely went down. You know, he didn't make enough plays. That's what you get paid for. But you still have to analyze it in the context of the defense too. And that'll be interesting. I mean, I still think the Titans are in good shape at safety, bringing back Byard and Vaccaro, but that's a lot of money to invest in that too, and you've got to have really impactful play there.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be better. I hear what you're saying on Lamar and the angle there, and I agree with you. Like, there's not very many people on earth that are going to be able to slow down Lamar Jackson, regardless of what angle you're taking at that point when he's up to full speed. But it's not like that's the first time we've had this discussion about Kevin Byard this year taking a bad angle. I mean, that was a pretty right. consistent theme all season long in the running game. And, you know, I think back to Dalvin Cook and just how bad he made Kevin Byard look at times. And this was a pretty consistent theme all season long, not just with Byard, but with a lot of members of the defense taking bad angles, not being where they're supposed to be in the running game. Obviously, we know how much they struggled in coverage this year. Whether you want to know, I mean, how much of that had to do with the lack of pass rush, how much of that was just them struggling in coverage, I don't know. But the one thing that I knew would be a theme as soon as the season ended, it started to be a theme yesterday when I did the post-game show with Chase, and that was, I mean, that conversation of not having a D coordinator is going to be a thing. I mean, it came up immediately yesterday after the game was over, and I just wonder if you're the Titans, now that it's done and that the season is over and you can take some time to analyze what's going on and be honest with yourselves in your evaluation, how much not having a D coordinator brought down the play of guys like Kevin Byard and guys like Kenny Vaccaro that we've seen play at a high level before, and just for whatever reason this year, the whole defense at times just looked disorganized and discombobulated.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes it harder to evaluate individuals that way, you know, because the whole thing was a mess, and clearly, you know, we've talked about Dean Pease, and obviously they missed him, and obviously they should have hired a defensive coordinator or at least elevated, you know, all these things they should have done. Kerry Combs, too. I mean, we're going to watch him tonight in the national title game, and who knows, maybe he'll be doing snow, you know, confetti angels on the field again after, like, having 27 coffees and, you know, somehow holding, like, Alabama's passing game to under 40 points, you know. But that's a loss. I mean, there's big losses there on the coaching side, but it doesn't totally explain all these struggles. The pass rush, we know, was dreadful, but you hope guys like Byard still step up and play better. Like you said, there's a lot of situations this year where he just didn't make the play or was made to look bad in the open field, and we're not used to seeing that. So does that mean he's lost a step? I can't sit here and say absolutely not. No way he's lost a step. I, watching him run around, I don't think he looks like slow or anything like that. He just like looks less confident, uncertain. And at times, again, he's having to make up for so much. He's made a lot of plays this year. I mean, Vaccaro and Byard both had a lot of tackles this year. That's not a good sign for a defense. You know, those guys aren't supposed to have to do that as much as they did this year.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our man TD from Nashville texts in and says, winning yesterday would have been good, but there's no way this defense was going to go deep in the playoffs. They didn't stop Lamar Jackson. They can't defend passes. They can't pass rush. And in the playoffs, the more you win, the deeper your draft choice is. If they didn't lose yesterday, it would have been the next week. This team has defensive problems. Let's start appreciating the fact that we now have a better draft choice. Start looking at the draft and what's available to fix it. There's only one cornerback who is effective without tackling, and it's Deion Sanders. Adoree Jackson is not him. Hashtag learn to tackle. So TD, very frustrated still with the defense.
Yeah, I mean, Adoree Jackson's never going to be confused with, like, the physical, you know, burly, big tackling cornerback. But I don't think that I've never thought he's been terrible in that way. It's just at times you got to be more physical. At times he misses some plays. I mean, we saw it against Devontae Adams. That's a great player. Devontae Adams is a great player. And it was early with Adoree Jackson coming back. That's one of those things where you have to know that you don't give up the sideline. You know, that's one of those be a heady defensive player moments. And he wasn't. And he let him have the sideline, didn't use his help, and he was gone. I mean, he's never going to be great in that way, but I don't think he has to be Deion Sanders to justify having him on your team. He's still a pretty good player normally, and that's another question. It's like Byard, what is he next year if you help and make other things better? And Adoree Jackson, what is he next year with a full offseason, fully healthy? How much of a difference does that make?
So what did we think yesterday of the antics at the end of the game by the Ravens? Stomping on the logo, Lamar Jackson running off the field and immediately heading to the locker room. Where does this rivalry stand right now with the Titans and the Ravens? Let us know at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the 20-13 loss for the Titans yesterday against the Ravens in the wild card round. The Titans season is now over. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that discussion with him. And yet another chapter written yesterday, Joe, in this rivalry against the Ravens. The road team improves to 5-0 all time in the matchups between the Titans and the Ravens in the playoffs. So more interesting stuff there. Another heartbreaking home loss to the Ravens at Nissan Stadium. And they added more fuel to the fire yesterday. You think back to the regular season meeting and what happened before the game. The Titans meet up on the logo in Baltimore, which they do pretty much every game that they're on the road. Obviously, the Ravens took exception to that. John Harbaugh and Mike Vrabel and Malcolm Butler at midfield have their words. And the Titans go on to win that game in overtime. And then yesterday on the interception that we've talked about, Khalif Raymond falls down. Marcus Peters picks it off. And after that play is over, the Ravens go out and stomp on the Titans logo at midfield. They get a 15-yard penalty on the play. And then the Ravens eventually ice the game. Lamar Jackson with a big run. They get done. They kneel it off, and Lamar Jackson runs off into the tunnel without sticking around to shake hands and talk to members of the Titans. What did you think of the ending of the game yesterday? The Ravens stomping on the logo, Lamar running off the field before shaking hands with the Titans. And how do you think Titans fans view this rivalry now that the Ravens have come in again and stolen their season away from them on their own home field?
Well, first of all, I wish some of the Ravens, like after the game, and again, this is where you like the stupid Zoom calls, you get a fraction of what you would have gotten, right? But like, I think it was a Wolf, Derek Wolf was like, it was a team unity moment. That was not a ton. It was a team unity. And I think, was it Peters was like, well, you know, I just happened to be on the logo.
Yeah, it happened to be in midfield.
Yeah. You know, clearly the Ravens plan to, at the point when either they had the game won or thought they had the game won or whatever, at some point they were going to go do that to the Titans logo, and they did. So that's not a surprise. I mean, I do go back to Baltimore and the whole thing that happened before the game. And the Titans keep saying this, like they've been doing that since Malarkey. For whatever reason, that really ticked off the Ravens back then. But, you know, the bottom line is if you don't like what the Ravens did yesterday, then don't let them beat you, you know? I mean, that's how it goes. Last year in Baltimore, in that tunnel, after the Titans going in the locker room, Kevin Byard running in screaming big truss as he goes in the locker room. Tajay Sharp, it was just idiotic, goes up to the – like they're about to introduce Derrick Henry for his presser, and Tajay Sharp basically like copies the Mark Ingram thing about big truss, yeah. You know, whoop, whoop, big truss. It was very cringy. It was like, okay, get off the podium, Tajay Sharp. What are you doing right now? I mean,
yeah.
Derrick Henry's like kind
of
like giving him a – Yeah, Derrick Henry's giving like a courtesy laugh, like, oh, yeah, man, okay. But, I mean, hey, they had fun with it. They talked, they taunted, and the Ravens could do nothing about it because they lost. And so that's how it goes. So, some people on Twitter today for me have been saying, like Mason on Twitter, saying, like, I wish they would have done something about this. You know, they should have whatever. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Here's the funny thing is, until the Titans defense made it irrelevant, that penalty was a mistake by the Ravens. That almost screwed them over.
Yeah.
So good job to me. Good job for the Titans to not retaliate. The game was not over at that point. It seemed like everything was fine at the end. I didn't like Lamar Jackson going in the tunnel. You know, I think he should have, shook hands with people and all that stuff. But I don't know. To me, man, the bottom line is, if you don't like this stuff, don't lose.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson did have an interesting quote after the game yesterday. This coming from John Glennon is where I saw this on Twitter. Quote, I feel it was just disrespect to see what went on before the game the last time we played those guys, and they were standing on our logo and seeing them get into it with our coach. That was just disrespectful because we treat all of our opponents with respect. It wasn't no reason for us to shake hands and stuff like that. We'll be the bigger guy. So we just walked off the field. I feel like we're being the bigger guys, and my favorite run was the kneel. I didn't really have a favorite run other than kneeling down at the end. So look, let me first say this. I don't have really any problem with what the Ravens did yesterday. I think it's fun. I think it adds to the rivalry. Quite frankly, there's not enough of that in today's NFL where two teams just purely hate each other. And I do. I think that exists between this Ravens team and this Titans team. They don't like each other at all, and I think the NFL needs a little bit more of that. Closer to what we saw back in the old days with, you know, Eddie George and Ray Lewis and how much those two teams hated each other. It's not at that level, but these two teams clearly don't like each other So I don't have a problem with it from that standpoint. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson, let's be real for a second. If you're talking about being the bigger guy, I don't know if running off the field when you're done and not shaking hands is really being the bigger guy in that situation. So I thought that was an interesting quote from him. I hear what he's trying to say, but I didn't think it was a great look either. It's not the world's biggest deal. Like, I don't have this major problem with it. But the quote after the game of trying to be the bigger guy, you don't really display that by running off the field and just not shaking hands with anybody.
Yeah, right. I mean, the bigger guy shakes hands. Hey, Lamar was the – he was largely – and I think it's kind of him, but it's also just all the hoopla around Lamar Jackson last year. That was a huge deal for the Titans to win that game and to again, that's the MVP last year, you know. That was he was the sensation of the NFL in 2019. So it was also kind of the Titans just celebrating, you know, toppling that. But still, I think he took it as personal shots to him. So we saw, I mean, in Baltimore after the pregame, and we've talked about this, but they throw the Lamar Jackson gets the TD pass to make it 21-10. He goes in that end zone and gives Malcolm Butler a bump. I mean, there's clearly some personal stuff here. But yeah, I agree with you too. Let's have more of this stuff. I mean, last night, you know, the shocking Browns pounding the Steelers. I mean, I don't know. That seemed like the Steelers just sort of took their medicine and went home. Like, let's have a little bit more rivalry in this league.
And it's been interesting to just gauge Titans fans after the game is over. And I think the reaction to this loss, obviously, like, I don't put this loss really in the same ballpark of 2000 or 2008 when the Ravens come in here. And especially 2000, just ripped the heart out of the entire city. You're feeling great about that team. They have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Even in 08, you're 13-3. You're the number one seed in the AFC. A couple weeks earlier, you just knocked off Pittsburgh in a great game, and you thought maybe you had a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. I just don't really get the vibe this year that Titans fans really believe this team could win the Super Bowl. We did a show, a postgame show yesterday with Chase McCabe, and just the reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and on Twitter, I think really illustrated that yesterday. Like, Patrick on Twitter says, you know, they win the division, have a 2,000-yard rusher, and have a really strong offense, and then the defense is up and down all year. There's no margin for error. I'm most disappointed that the first thing happened with that offense, and yet them losing still isn't a shock at all. I kind of expected it. It feels like such a waste. And I feel like what Patrick said there is the way a lot of Titans fans feel. I mean, it almost felt like this team had an expiration date, given how different they were on the defensive side of the ball than offense. And it's crazier still when you think about how the game transpired yesterday, that the defense actually played well and the offense struggled to get things done yesterday. But just the reaction from Titans fans, it almost feels like most of them saw this run coming and they didn't feel like they really had a chance to compete with a compete for a Super Bowl with this team.
Yeah, it'd almost be more comforting if you lost 40-33, yeah. You know, and then it would just be like, okay, there you go. You know, the defense ends up being so bad that the great offense can't overcome the bad defense. And instead, it's like, the defense actually showed up. And then what? You know, like you said earlier in the show, you know, if anybody would have been told 20 points for the Ravens, no one's picking the Ravens to win. You know, so that's kind of the strange disappointment at the end is that it flip-flopped. But the bottom line is this was still a great and historic offense, and it was still wasted.
When we come back, our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll get into the Titans' loss to the Ravens with him and look ahead maybe to some potential moves this offseason. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.